Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Luke chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, as we continue going through our series through the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading there in verse 29. And I'm going to ask you, if you can, just stand again real quick in honor of the reading of God's word. It's not going to be long. But if you can stand, that would be good. Hear the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 11, verse 29. Excuse me, verse 33. That was last week's sermon. Unless you want to hear that one again. Verse 33, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. This is the word of the Lord. Are you thankful? Amen. Father, we are indeed thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, Lord, may it be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So 2 weeks ago, We came to a section of scripture in which those who were witnessing Jesus' ministry began to ask for a sign from heaven. They were also questioning his authority to heal and cast out demons. You know, leave it to the Pharisees and leave it to those in Jesus' day to not be satisfied with the casting out of demons, or to not be satisfied with the sick being healed and the dead being raised to life. They said, we want a sign from heaven. Jesus, he had healed a man from a demon possession that had caused the man to be mute and crazy. Again, like I said, instead of them being amazed, they said, huh, Are you casting out demons in the name of a false god? And they gave the false god a name. Are you? And what power do you have to cast out demons? And so they begin to question Jesus' authority to do such a thing. Then the crowd says, well, then cast down a sign from heaven. We want to make sure that you're not casting out demons in the name of some false god. Give us a sign from heaven. And so this is where we've been the last 2 weeks. Jesus has been, he's been teaching. He's been doing these great works, and they've been saying, hey, give us a sign. And so Jesus reminds them that his power is greater than anything they had ever seen. He reminds them that it wasn't just in the business of casting out demons, but he was also in the business of filling up empty hearts with a greater power. See, they thought some false god could cast out demons, and perhaps some magician could do that, but Jesus comes on the scene and says, I'm a greater power, because not only do I cast out demons, but I fill up that empty heart so that that demon cannot come back again. I fill it up with my spirit, which is a greater power than anything that Satan can throw at you. And so, while Jesus, he continues to proclaim and to demonstrate the kingdom of God before their eyes, the majority of folks, they just don't understand what's happening. They just don't understand what's happening right before their eyes. I mean, they're trying to find meaning to all that is going on. What does it mean for these demons to be cast out? What does it mean for the sick to be healed? What does it mean when Jesus says that he is proclaiming the good news to the brokenhearted? What does it mean that he is casting the prisoned free? But they just can't see. They just can't see that the meaning is Jesus. That he is the meaning. That he is the sign. And so today our text takes this theme of not being able to see to the next step. It gets to the heart of the problem that can keep us from seeing. You see, in order to place our faith in Jesus, I believe that we have to understand our purpose. In order to fully take that step of faith, and we've been talking about that. Last few weeks, we've been talking about what it is to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, what it is to ask and to seek God's spiritual power in our lives. And I think for some of us, it's hard for us to see the meaning of that unless we truly understand our purpose. When we truly understand our purpose behind all that's going on. You see, I believe that when Jesus says that no one lights a lamp and hides it under a bush, I believe he is referring to himself. He is saying that no one experiences a light and then hides it. Not someone with healthy eyes, anyway. Anyone with healthy eyes can truly see, can experience what God is doing in their life, and they don't want to hide that. But I think it has a lot to do with truly understanding our purpose. Why are we here? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Why are we here? Not why are you here at church, I know, you know, but just where you are in life. Have you ever gotten to a point in your life where you're asking, so what is the meaning of it all? You know, kids love to ask the question why, don't they? Anybody got a kid that asks the question why? If not, I've got one that'll ask it for like 10 kids, okay? And so we got you covered. But kids love to explore. They want to know why. Why this and why that? One could argue that this is a little cliche to have a sermon to ask the question, but essentially, I'm asking the question, what is the meaning of it all? And honestly, it reminds me of an old Andy Griffith scene. And I'm not going to show it. You would love for me to show that. I know you would. But this fancy preacher from New York comes to town. He's the guest of the pastor, and they're all excited to come and hear this preacher from New York, because someone from New York City must have infinite wisdom, correct? Must have some wisdom to give to the fine people of Mayberry. And so this busy preacher from busy New York City, he comes to Mayberry, and his opening line of his sermon is, what is the meaning of it all? And he goes on to talk about how we rush through this and we rush scanning the headlines and we're just rushed. We're just so busy. It's one of the most ironic episodes in all of the Andy Griffith episode that someone from New York City would come to Mayberry and say, we're just too busy. Y'all need to slow down. Go and watch. It's a beautiful episode. I'm telling you, it's one of my favorites. But as cliche as it seems, I am asking the question, what is the meaning of it all? What is ultimately our goal as believers and ultimately our purpose and goal as a church? You see, I believe that when you know your purpose, then you'll understand the mission. When you know your purpose, you'll understand the mission. You see, the Pharisees, they couldn't see that Jesus was the light. In the same way that no one would light a lamp and hide it, then if someone truly saw Jesus as the light, then they would see it as their purpose to focus on Jesus and be the light as he is the light. And I know this sounds so simple. You're like, oh yeah, I would expect a preacher to say that our purpose is to focus on Jesus. Yeah, this is a sermon of cliches. Good job, David. Great one. You're deep today. But I can't get around the simple truth that our purpose in life, our purpose as believers, is to focus on Jesus. That I believe that's what we're seeing here when we look at this text. We're called to focus on Jesus because Jesus is the light. Jesus uses this analogy of him being the light all over the gospel. I want to read to you John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And I tried just to kind of give you a snippet. But John, the gospel of John is just beautiful prose. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful writing that I want you to hear this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been seen. In him was life, and that was the what? And that was the light of all mankind. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus was the light of all mankind. It's a mouthful, isn't it? Why would I ask you to say that? Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Are you seeing the parallel here? John was saying this from the get-go. He was the world, one who made the light, who made the world. He came to us, and the world that he created is not even recognizing him. That's the whole issue in the Gospel of Luke, is these people are not recognizing who Jesus is. Look at verse 11 of John. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I love this. This is one of the more beautiful scriptures in all of Scripture. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. If you read the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson translates that God put on flesh and he moved into the neighborhood. Love that. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one who and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So our purpose is to focus on Jesus because he is the light. He is the true light. We spend all of our time and all of our energy focusing on all these other things that distract us from the one true light, which is Jesus. I believe that we're called to focus on Jesus with our thoughts, with our time, with our resources, and with our goals. You know, it's easy to kind of get distracted. And I'll be honest with you, I'm the first one in that line. I overthink stuff. I'm that guy who takes me a long time to buy something because I do a lot of research on it and I overthink it. We've had a dryer that's been broken for a long time. And well, it's not broke. You just got to use the needle nose pliers and you can make it work, you know? And so we're like, do we get a new dryer? Let me look at some timers. And I went up to Johnny's there and looked around his junkyard a little bit, see if he's got anything, you know. And man, I've just been thinking about this dryer, you know. And as time goes on, the needle nose pliers trick is getting harder and harder and harder. And so finally Saturday, I broke down and I bought the timer on the site that I found that had the timer. But I just overthought this thing. Maybe we didn't, you know, just think about all these things that go into this. I'm just an overthinker. That's just kind of how I work. And Casey would tell you that I'll overthink on the most trivial things and don't overthink probably on the more important things. But just odd like that. But even in our thoughts, it's easy to get distracted. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, even as a pastor, you know, there's times where my thoughts can get on the more unimportant things of the church. Can get on programs and get on organizational structures and how we're getting communication out to everyone and all these things. And really, my focus, my primary thought should be Jesus. And that's where all of us should be. Our time should be focused on Jesus. Our time should revolve around how are we glorifying Jesus with our time? Where do we need to be to glorify God? Are we consumed with time being about us and doing what we want to do? Or are we using our time in a way that can glorify God? Are we going on the mission trips or teaching this class or doing these things or meeting with someone? That's a novel idea. Find someone in the church and call them up and say, hey, I think you and I need to do lunch. Or, hey, I think you and I need to do dinner. Let's just disciple one another. Let's just get together and just talk about the word and pray with one another. Our resources and our goals should all revolve around Jesus. I think it's important to have life goals. It's important to have goals in our career. But I think at the forefront of what we're moving towards, our goals should revolve around Jesus. So you want to do this in your career? Great, go for it. But we should also be asking ourselves, how can I glorify Jesus in that? How can I, if this is my end goal with my career, how can I glorify Jesus in that? So our purpose is to focus on Jesus. Our mission is to be the light. This will be on the screen. Our mission is to be the light. Look at verse 33 of Luke 11. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it can be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see it. If your purpose as a believer is to focus on Jesus, then your mission is to be a light for all to see. Matthew, in his gospel in chapter 5, he records a similar saying of Jesus. And he talks about, we are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill for all to see. We're not to put it under a bush, but we're to light so that all can see. You see, when our focus is on Jesus, then we can reflect him. We can reflect the true light that is Jesus Christ. I'll give you guys a science lesson, one that you already know. But there's some nights that I'm just amazed by how much light that the moon can put off, you know? I mean, there's just some nights it's like, boom, it just lights up the whole yard. And it's really, if you live out in the country, then, you know, it's awesome. But we all know, right, that the moon has no ability to give off light in of itself. You know, it has no power. There's no protons and all those things coming together and making some sort of energy source on the moon. It's just this lunar object that's up in the sky, and it is reflecting what? Reflecting the sun. And so on those nights when it is just a full moon and the sky is clear, that moon is just reflecting the light that's coming off of the sun. And you and I are called to do the same thing with our lives. To focus on Jesus and to be a reflection of that light. That when people see us, they see Jesus and how we talk and how we work and everything about us. And so I believe that when we focus on Jesus, and I believe that when we understand our mission is to be light, then I believe, you had it up there, it's coming up next. I believe that living out the mission of God will make everything healthier. I believe that when we focus on God, when we focus on His purposes, when we focus on His mission, there's just an interesting way how things in our lives will begin to come into place. Not automatically or not like instantly, but there's just a inward joy. There's just a calming effect that comes over us in our lives when we are focused on Jesus and when we are doing and living out His mission. Look at verse 34 of chapter 11. Your eye is a lamp of the body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is full of darkness. I would argue that if there are some unhealthy habits in your life, if there are spiritual unhealthy seasons or things that are going on in your life, I would challenge you to begin to focus and to reorient your life around Jesus the light. And not just focus on Him, but take it to the next step and to understand that you are called to reflect that light. You're called to serve. You're called to be involved. You're called to be compassionate with our fellow brothers and sisters. See, I believe when we're doing those things, it just gets us in a place where we can't focus on ourselves because we're too focused on Jesus and what he would have us to do. Now, I'm not suggesting that you neglect yourself, and I'm not saying that, like, I mean, you've got to be a good steward of resources. You've got to be a good steward of yourself to some degree. But you can be amazed. You can be amazed of the joy and the freedom that comes in being a generous person, the joy and the freedom that comes with being a person who is quick to always speak a kind word. I mean, it's no fun being that person that when you walk into the room, you're like, oh, here comes so-and-so. What are they going to say now? You know? I mean, you don't want to be that person that when you call someone and they look on the phone, you're like, I wonder what she wants. Why did I say she? He. I wonder what he wants. Excuse me. See, I caught myself. Man, you want to be that person that lives his life that when he comes, oh, let me see what so-and-so's up to. We're living on mission. Everything becomes healthier. I mean, that's what the word says. That when your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. And so as we think about our local church and our purpose, we think about our mission. You know, 3 years ago, we began to ask ourselves this question. We began to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of Camden Nazarene? What is the purpose of this, at the time, 70-year-old church? We're now 73 going on 74. What is the purpose of what happens around here? What is God wanting to do in our midst? And 3 years ago, we understood that in the same way that the prophet Nehemiah would lead God's children in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, so we would be looking at rebuilding some things around here. When we looked at our purpose, when we looked at our mission and what God would have us to do in Kershaw County, we took a look and inventory that, hey, maybe there's some rebuilding that needs to go on around here. Rebuilding in terms of, yes, some physical rebuilding, but also, and I would argue more importantly, rebuilding our purpose and rebuilding our mission. And I should say, not rebuilding our focus, but I would say refocusing on that, because our purpose is never going to change. It's always Jesus Christ. It's always the gospel of Jesus Christ that is our focus. So like Nehemiah, we were reminded that the Lord is great and awesome, and that he would lead us in this endeavor. We were reminded that our church was called to gather, to grow, to go and give. And we believe that when we do these things, when we gather, grow, go, and give, that we become a church that is centered on Christ and focused on our community. This is the mission of the church, to be Christ-centered and community-focused, centered around Christ and focused on others. And I'm convinced that when we commit to gather, when we commit to grow, when we commit to go, and when we commit to give, these things are just natural byproducts of doing those four things. That when you regularly come and gather with us on Sundays and Wednesdays, there's just something special that happens with the family. But you guys, this Sunday is just, it's a beautiful Sunday. There's some here I hadn't seen in a while, and it just seems like it's just great seeing all you here. And I think that you're gathered here for a purpose. You're gathered here for a purpose. You don't think so. Maybe some of you look kind of like you're bored, but I think you're getting there. You're gathered here for a purpose. And that purpose is to be used of God. That purpose is to focus on Jesus and to be a light. That's our mission. The church is God's plan to reach the world. The church is God's plan to reach the world. Now, we are able to fulfill this plan because of what Jesus did. Because of Jesus dying on the cross and because of his resurrection, the world can be and will be redeemed. But you and I, man, we are the carriers of that. There's no other plan, y'all. There's no plan B. It's the church. And that's what our mission is. And so we understand this wasn't about new programs. It wasn't about being busy. It was about understanding that our purpose is Christ and our mission is to reflect Christ wherever you are. So are you asking yourself that? Are you asking yourself that at work? In the office, at the factory, at the plant? Are you asking yourself, God, what is my purpose here? And how do you want me to reflect Christ here? That's a question that we all should be asking ourselves each and every day. We get up in the morning, you want to know, wow, man, what's my purpose? What's going on in life? Man, your purpose is to focus on Christ, and your mission is to reflect Him wherever God has placed you. And if you've got goals to do something bigger and better, you got goals to move on, then those goals are to be oriented around focusing on Christ. In the situation that you're facing, the situation that's going on, maybe there's some strife that's happening. Maybe there's a disagreement on something with someone in your family or some situation. We need to ask ourselves, Lord, how do you want me to glorify you in this? How do you want me to handle this in a way that you are glorified? I talked about tackling some physical rebuilding as well. So 3 years ago, you remember from the sanctuary all the way back to the Community Life Center, I mean, we tore everything out and built it back, and it looks beautiful, looks awesome. And there's still some things that we're wanting to do, and this, some things are slow, but by and large, we are where we want to be with that. And so there's so many of you that took the great and awesome challenge. You heard the call that what our task was great and our task was daunting, but you also heard the call that God is great and awesome and He's going to lead us through this and He's going to provide. And many of you gave above and beyond. You committed to help us with this. You committed to give of your resources and to give of your money. Many people came and painted and did all sorts of things, and we gave extra to bring a contractor in to help us do some of the things that we couldn't do on our own. And many of you gave towards that, and I so appreciate that. But you want to know what the beautiful thing is? There are new faces that are here that were not here 3 years ago. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's great. And so I was meeting with our leadership board, and I was telling them that, you know, we went to the bank, and they helped us with some financing. And so in December, we're going to either have to pay off the remaining balance or we're going to have to refinance it. And if you remember right, we financed about $55,000, and come December, we'll owe about $30,000. And, you know, we either pay that off or refinance that. And so we begin to pray, we begin to talk about this, and if you have your connection guide, and I know we ran out of those, I believe, but I'm going to tell you all about it right now, so it's all good. But starting next week, there's going to be a board that's out in the foyer. And this board, it's called the Envelope Challenge. And this is going to help us, this is going to push us towards December. This is going to push us towards, I'll be honest with you, I believe it's going to push us towards just getting rid of this thing. That's just me. That's how I'm praying. But on this board, there are going to be 199 envelopes on this board. And they'll be numbered 1 to 199 on this board. And so the challenge that we're asking you to do is between next Sunday and December, to pray about which envelope you would pick up and to put in dollars the corresponding amount with what's on the outside of your envelope. So if you get an envelope that has 50 on it, at some point between next Sunday and December, put $50 in there and put it towards our great and awesome vision and plan. And you may say, well, you know, David, I pledged. I've been giving faithfully for three years. And thank you so much. And I'm so thankful that you are doing that. But I am asking you to help me on this as well. That between now and December, that you would look at this board, and the Lord may lead you to pick up envelope 87, may lead you to pick up envelope number 5, and may lead you to pick up envelope 199, whatever. It may lead you to pick up one envelope this month, and then the next month pick up another one. Who knows? Did you know, and I'm not a math guy, so Excel helped me on this, and Stephanie double-checked it. But you may think, well, this ain't going to raise a whole lot of money. But do you know if every envelope between 1 to 191 and 199 gets filled, it'll raise just under $20,000 or right at $20,000. It's one of those things, you know, like, hey, would you rather have $1 million or a penny doubled every day for 30 days? Well, take the penny, because multiplication does some crazy things. It's crazy what multiplication can do. There's a sermon there for discipleship too, but that's what we're asking. As we begin to push towards December, and as because here's the thing. It's not about the building, okay? Our purpose is not new floors. Our purpose is not new paint. Our purpose is not all these new things. Our purpose is Christ. And our mission is to reflect Christ. And 3 years ago, your leadership board said, hey, let's begin to repurpose ourselves. Let's begin to look at some new ways in which we can do our mission. And we've done that with new classes. We've done that with kind of revamped ministries and all sorts of things. And we also said that we needed to be a good steward of our facility. Did you guys know that this facility, it wasn't built by millionaires? Did y'all know that? There wasn't one millionaire who came and wrote everybody a check and said, here you go, new church. The place that you're sitting at began like in the early 70s as far as looking for property, buying property, and it wasn't until 89 until we were able to sit ourselves in this place. So somebody at this church had a vision that went 20 years, y'all. And it wasn't some millionaire that wrote the check. It was people like you and I that just sacrificially gave towards the mission of God. Again, it's not about building. If you walk out here and say, you know what, I just don't feel like I'm led to do this, that's fine. That's fine. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm just letting you know, this opportunity is going to be available to you. And my only rule was this. I would encourage us to leave 1 through 20 for the children so that they can have an opportunity for them to give as well. Half of you are like, oh, man. God, I did. I saw, I woke up when a couple of you woke up when I said that. They're like, oh, man. Right? I know y'all, family, man. Okay. I like that, Arnold. We're going to challenge our children, our teens, to do the same. And I think it's only fair that if we can lay off 1 through 20 and encourage them to do that. It all comes back to reflecting Christ. We're going to wrap this thing up. It all comes back to reflecting Christ. This isn't a normal sermon. This isn't a normal text that you would give if you're trying to raise money. And so guess what? I'm not trying to raise money. I'm trying to make sure that our purpose, that we understand our purpose, and that we understand our mission. And I'm just reminding you of how 3 years ago, we all made a decision on what our purpose, on how we're going to live into our purpose and fulfill our mission. And it all comes back to reflecting Christ. When we've invited the Holy Spirit in to dwell, then our eyes become healthy and our desire is to reflect Christ in all that we do. So as you wrap it up, I want you to leave here knowing this. Your purpose is Christ wherever you are. Wherever you are in life, whether you like your job or you're having some challenges with it. Your purpose in that situation is to focus on Christ and to reflect Him. And guess what? He will give us the ability to do this. He will give us the ability, He will give us the power to push through and to live out the calling that He has given us. Let's stand and let's prepare to close as we sing the song together.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.